Well, hello, church. Welcome back to the Looking Both Ways podcast. I'm Pastor Tim, your host, alongside Pastor Rich, your fearless leader. We missed last week. That was my fault. I was all the way in Nashville at a conference, and so we weren't able to get to that one, but we've got this week. A lot of exciting things coming up for our church. Some may be affected by the fires, some not. So lots of things going on that we're excited about, but, What a wonderful weekend, more baptisms. We had an exciting moment that I'll let Pastor Rich talk to you about here in a second. And also, the exciting moment is going to be blown straight through. We're actually going to be able to surpass that moment. So Rich, why don't you talk to us about that? But then also, just talk to us about really kind of the main points, maybe dive deeper into some areas that you didn't really get to on Sunday. As we kind of take a look back at this past weekend.
Yeah. So lots of highlights this weekend, but obviously the highlight is reaching our baptismal goal of 30. We were able to do that at the 10:15. We'll show that to you guys on Sunday for those of you that didn't get to see it. So that's a great, that's a God goal. As long as I've been pastor, we never even set an evangelism or baptism goal before, and just felt led to do that this year, and we did it. And, God did it. And so we're thankful for that and grateful for that. And like you said, more on the way. And we kind of also want to keep going. Just because we reach a goal doesn't mean we can't surpass it. And then we'll worry about goal setting for next year later. But right now, let's just celebrate what God has done and keep going forward with that. Because, it's really a God thing. Because we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. We haven't really done a whole lot of intentionality in the things that you would think about doing to try and increase somebody's baptisms in the life of a church. We just haven't done that. It's just become we tried to instill it in culture and be intentional in our conversations, I believe, with people and in talking about it and talking about what it means. And it's really just really spoken to people in that way, which tells you that, God can use any means to bring about people to realize their need for Jesus and their need to be baptized as well. So I think that's a great thing. You almost don't want to program anything because it's going pretty well without programming anything. But that, again, that goes back to being organic and just us being a church and us being followers of Jesus. And we shouldn't have to program sharing our faith and encouraging people to be baptized. That should just be something that we do.
Well, and there wasn't really any outspoken, like, hey, this is our goal, so help us meet this goal, like a pledge drive or something like that, Right. Which is just, again, it makes it a lot more organic and just a lot more exciting. And I think the other point, looking back at this year, is it has not been one specific tribe or crowd. Right. We've seen kids being baptized right along, people in their 70s and 80s being baptized. And I think that's right. just both languages, that's just a really exciting thing, we can say that we're one church, two languages, three traditions, whatever it may be. It's another thing when we actually live that out. And it's been exciting to see. And this, again, I think the word exciting is just a good word to describe where we are as a church right now.
And it's always, we plan the preaching calendar this year. We planned it almost a year ago. And so the fact that we're going through Ephesians at this time is a timely thing on God's part, as far as that goes, because what we're talking about and what we've been talking about in Ephesians and, trying to just dive into, and we'll get into even more this week, is just understanding who we are in Christ. And that is a motivation and the empowerment to live out our faith in the world that we live in. And that should be organic or natural. A natural outflowing of transformation. And this week we get into Ephesians 2 and we talk about what we were before, which was we were dead. And now we talk about, but God made us alive. And, it's, how can you not be excited about that? And how can, I've noticed in my sermons, the time is just going way too fast. And I still think that they're manipulating the countdown clock on the back, to be brutally honest with you, but neither here nor there. I'd have thought like it was rushed anyway, because there's just so much to unpack in that. Like last week was just, Paul's prayer last week was just about understanding that God would allow the Ephesians to understand everything that he just told them. And it's the same thing for us, to be able to grasp the depth of all that God has done for us and to appreciate it and to live it out and to live with that perspective as opposed to some other perspective, trying to define who you are. Well, Ephesians 1 tells you who you are as a follower of Jesus and what God has done to accomplish that. And so I'm excited about that kind of divine providence in how this is all kind of flowing together throughout the year, because I'm not smart enough to time all these things like that. I just know that's true.
Yeah, well, I just grabbed my notebook just from the sermon. And again, I think that this past week really felt like the practical application, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, it starts with the words, this is why, right? Mm-hmm. And so we kind of got into the whole, you're not just saved from something, you're saved for something. Like, yes, that's really great news, but there's a reason. This is why that all that happened, right? And I don't think for us as a church, globally, especially in the American church, we don't really have expectations for what happens after salvation, right? That we just kind of think like, well, okay, well, we're saved and we're good. And now we just kind of do the church thing and wait to die, you know, live out our lives. But in reality, there's so much power and importance in what we're doing. Being, you know, having faith in Jesus is one thing, but being faithful to Jesus is a completely different thing. And, you know, I would love for you to go kind of more further in depth in terms of, especially the idea of having low expectations. I kind of wrote down, we underestimate ourselves when we need to expect God to do something in and through us. And when you look at verses 18 and 19, so, you know, for us as a church, how would you unpack that in terms of, you know, what does it actually look like to live out, the potential that God sees in you and allowing him to work in and through you?
Well, I think you have to start with who you are. And that's what Paul does. Ephesians, this is why I thank God for you, because this is what he's done in your life. And in your world and in your context, God has done this for you and you are living it out and doing it. But I pray that you would do more. I mean, and the idea of doing more for our faith is something that you're right. I think our expectations of ourselves and our faith can be kind of in conflict sometimes. We have expectations of other people that we expect to do things. Like there's expectations for me and for you in what we do. But those same expectations to be posed on ourselves is something that I think followers of Jesus and Christians in general they try not to do that as much as they can for whatever reason that is. And I think a lot of it is just because they don't understand, they don't think they can understand, and they just, as I said in the second service, I didn't say in the first service because I was just looking at it a different crowd. And you know, I've been in the desert. You were born in the desert. And so I've been coming here since my first trip to the high desert was 1995. And then, you know, we moved here in 2005. And when you're around in the community and you're going up and down the hill like we do, and you just hear what people think of people who live in the high desert and their stereotypes of who we are up here, even still today. And then I think we buy into that sometimes. We can look at our demographics, but, you know, and that's why I tried to make the point, you know, look, you have the power to understand God's word, and the Holy Spirit has just as much power in your life as it may have in my life or in your life. And, it's just about you believing that yourself. I don't think we believe in ourselves very much. We buy into the lie that somehow we're inferior, and that's my word, when it comes to understanding and growing and learning. And hopefully we're changing that in some ways with how we've been, you know, what God's been doing in the life of the church. Because I think there's a desire to soak that in or to embrace that. But, you just look out at people and you say, yeah, look, that's great for you, but man, there's just no way I could ever do that. And it's just like, why? You're chosen like I am. You're redeemed like I am. You're sealed like I am. You were called to be holy and blameless just like I was. You're empowered with the Holy Spirit just like I am. Why are you lowering your expectation of yourself? And they come back and they just say, well, I'm just not smart enough, or I just could never see myself doing that kind of thing. And man, you're just defeating your own agenda for what God wants to do in your life when you start that way. It's about mindset and to do that.
Yeah, well, and even when you look at the people that God uses, you know, that look at the people that Jesus chose, and look at the things that God did through them, you know, mm-hmm. there's a reason why you have the Sanhedrin looking at the disciples saying, these are just ordinary, uneducated men. How is it that these things are happening? You know, yeah. I think when you stop viewing yourself, looking in the mirror, really, and instead ask just God, hey, I've got open hands, an open heart, open mind, and feet ready to move. Where do you want me to go? My question for you is, what are the implications of not doing that? You know, so, you know, when we kind of look at, hey, this is what we should do, let's kind of talk about the why. Why? What's at stake if the church doesn't start rising to that and actually living out their faithfulness? That was really a free gift for them, but for a purpose. What's right. the implications there?
And, you know, that's, well, the first thing is, we'll talk about this week. You know, you cannot read Ephesians 2:10 where it talks about, where it says, you know, you're God's masterpiece, is the literal, or poem, if it's literally poem, you know, created in Christ Jesus to do those things which God prepared in advance for you to do. We are neglecting our purpose when we decide for God there's something we can and can't do. And we have to be very careful about that. And I think that's why Paul encouraged a lot. I mean, think about Timothy. You know, we talked about encouragement last week and being encouragers to one another and being better at it, especially for me specifically. You know, he's encouraging Tim because Timothy wasn't Paul. But Timothy had the same spirit, Holy Spirit, the same Jesus. And he was working in the same ministry area when he's pastoring in Ephesus as Paul did. And Timothy was obedient. And Paul commended him for being it. He exhorted him because he should, because that's what he does. I mean, when I talk to the mentors in my life, and I still have them at my age, I have my own mentors. They exhort me to do certain things. And he was taking the exhortations, but Paul was really good about encouraging Timothy. You have to fulfill your calling, do the work of evangelists, you know, fulfill your ministry. All of us have a ministry. All of us are God's masterpiece. All of us. That's a mindset. I can't make you believe you're God's masterpiece. It isn't about how I feel or how you feel. It is about how what God says we are and how he's empowered us to live these things out. I've said before, and I'll say it again this Sunday, I am sure, God has almost rigged this for us to succeed. The thing we have to do is believe it, surrender to it, and then we'll just do it. And if you're doing God's purpose for your life, and you'll know if that is or isn't, there's no way you can't succeed. It's in a very much rigged, to use a word that's the best word I know to use it. It's rigged for us to be fulfilled. God does not want us to live defeated. He wants us to live victorious and on purpose, glorifying him, advancing his kingdom, loving him, loving our neighbor. It's really that simple. We make it more complicated because we like things complicated.
Well, I think it's also we value the wrong things. You know, we mm-hmm. talked about this with the students because with the guys this week, we talked about faithfulness and how Hebrews 11:1 really breaks down where faithfulness comes from. You know, it ultimately comes down to what are you looking forward to? What are you hoping in, right? Mm-hmm. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So what do you put your hope in? And typically whatever's going to bring that about is what you are faithful to. You know, so if you're hoping to become a professional athlete, then you're going to be faithful to the sport that you play. If you are hoping for, you know, a big house with a lot of money, you're going to be faithful to your job. And I think one of the important takeaways is this is why that word, you know, that group of words to start off this past week's section, mm-hmm. It's because of that hope. I mean, if your hope is in heaven, and if your hope is for God's kingdom, and if your hope is truly to become more like Jesus, then you will be faithful to those things. And maybe the issue that we're seeing in the church today is that our hope is built up in the wrong things, and that ultimately obscures what we put our faithfulness in. And so as we kind of look forward to this coming weekend, what are the major, I guess, as we seek to prepare ourselves for what passage is going to be brought about, but then also, you know, as we just want to make sure that we're listening for the right things, where are we going this weekend, and what are some big takeaways that we can start to kind of think about as we head into a new week?
Well, the series is called New Life, or, you know, and so Paul's explained how the new life took about in Ephesians 1. He's prayed, and we need to pray that we understand this new life. And then he just kind of comes back in Ephesians 2, and he brings up how the new life is because of grace. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is really amplifies this idea of grace and unmerited favor, and reminds us of who we were in Christ before we were in Christ. And he says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And dead means dead. And that word means you have no ability to have life. None. Zero. Goose egg. You, nothing. But God, in the middle, down to 4 and 5, who's rich in mercy, because of his faithful love, you are saved by grace. And then he unpacks, for you are saved by grace through faith and not of works, so that no one can boast. And we'll talk through all of that link, but new life is because of the grace of God. The new life that we have is because of grace. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. And I think that's why a lot of people get so defeated in understanding their purpose. It's because we're constantly trying to battle the mindset of, if I want to please God, then I got to follow his rule book completely. And that motive, and we don't. And because we don't, then we live defeated. Then it says, well, there's no way I can go be a missionary or go on a mission trip or serve or do because I'm just not able to do that. Well, you're not able to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. But God loves his children as much now as he ever will. But we measure whether God loves us or not by whether I was 100% good, holy, didn't smoke, didn't cuss, didn't do anything bad. And we say if we never meet that standard. So we impose this works mindset on ourselves in an effort to please God. When you're a follower of Christ, a genuine follower of Christ, he's already pleased with you. You've embraced Jesus. You're his child. You're all those things that he's been talking about. And so I really want to unpack that this way. This is who you were. You don't become alive to go live dead again. And that's what we do. All of us are guilty of this. And sometimes but God in his grace has saved us and we believe. And so we don't want any, because he describes, you know, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, walking in the ways of the world. And he gives us that litany of lists, and he gives that a couple times throughout the book. But, you don't live dead. I mean, I could almost say by grace, we don't live dead anymore. But I think that's what we try and do by default. So I want to kind of unpack that a little bit this week.
Yeah. Well, and even in the song, which we've gotten quite a few requests, where we can find that song. So that means that we need to record it. But it's one of our own songs. It's called Dare to Be. We sang it on Sunday. And there is a line in that song talking about us as a church. And our whole church sang it, which means hopefully you know what you were saying, because there's a line in that song that says, we don't claim life without living.
Right.
And I think that's unfortunately what a lot of Christians do, is they claim life. Like they're ready to receive that gift, but then they don't live. And so I'm excited to go there with you, Pastor Rich, this weekend. And as we continue to kind of unpack, again, this series called New or Nuevo, whichever language you speak.
Right.
And again, I mean, looking forward to the fall, you know, as we have rooted, we're about a week away. So make sure, if you have not already, make sure you register for that on our website. Just go up to Ministries, click on Rooted and register for that today. It's $20, and that's just that way you can get your book. So register for Rooted, as we've got that coming up in about a week, starting up next Wednesday. Obviously, in the month of October, we might be doing a men's chili cook-off. We have the Harvest Festival, which is normally big for our community and especially evangelistically big for our community and for us as a church. We're going to be helping with the Hesperia Days 5K in September. We have the Thanksgiving Koinonia Night coming up, you know, our Christmas services. So there is all kinds of things happening. So make sure you're following us. You know, continue to listen to this podcast. Follow us on social media so you can stay up to date with everything. Sign up for our newsletter. Keep your bulletin up on the fridge, whatever it may be. There's just so many things. I mean, we just handed out, I mean, I guess they were handing out the women's ministry calendar on Sunday as well. And just a lot. So we're so excited.
Spanish ladies are going on a retreat this weekend to Hume Lake.
Yep. We have Spanish Heritage coming up. So again, lots of things for us as a church. That's just a really exciting time. And we're just praying that God would continue to bless that, that the things that are exciting are only exciting because we're doing things for the right purposes, right? And that is to be effective for his name. We're living and not just claiming life. So, Rich, thank you so much for your time as well.
Yeah. And let me just say real quick to what you just said, Tim, you know, a lot of programming is just a part of church life. We try and as much as we try and keep it minimal, it's hard not to be. We actually do try and keep things minimal. but everybody has their things that they want to do. They think that can help to do that. And I get that. But, you know, a lot of what God is doing in the life of our church is just been a natural outpouring of us, of what we talked about, loving one another. We talked about last week and a desire for those things to take place. And I think sometimes what we need to think about, you know, when we think about something like evangelism or sharing our faith and baptisms, I think sometimes when we do a program and say we're going to use this program to raise up baptisms in our church, then that becomes the barrier because it becomes a program and not natural. And you know, rooted for us, is it a program? Yes, but it's rooted, it's intended to be something to help build the culture of our church. And I believe that it really does do that if you embrace and do and live out what it says and be faithful for the 10 weeks. It's really about the community that's developed and the things that you learn. You're like, wow, just living these out and talking these things out amongst each other and then doing them together, praying together for an hour and a half. Most people have never done that. Doing a mission project together, and good grief, for this part of Rooted, if you have a mission, if you can't find a mission project to plug into this semester in our church for your Rooted group, then you're just not paying attention to the calendar, because there's a lot of stuff to plug into to help us to go forward with that. And so just know that, church, we want to do this naturally, divinely, if you will. We shouldn't have to program things that God has saved us to do. We just shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, again, just be watching for all of that and rise to the occasion. You know, that's just all we're asking, is that you just try, you know, and maybe you serve in an area and you quickly realize that that's not the area you're called to be. You know, I think Rooted is effective, whether you've been a Christian for one day, whether you're not even a Christian, or you've been a Christian for, you know, 90 years, it's effective. And it's important to be reminded, even if you've gone through it before, to be reminded of those first truths. So thank you so much again, Rich, for your time.
Thank you, sir.
We look forward to seeing you all this weekend. Again, keep watching our social media platforms, our website, all of those things, as we try and keep those things up to date, and just make sure that we're being effective and accessible for you as a church. And again, this is the Looking Both Ways podcast, a chance to look back and look forward to make sure that we're staying faithful to God, and especially growing in our own faith and discipleship every day of the week. So have a wonderful...
Real quick, Tim, is the camping trip still on because of the fires?
Yeah, so as of right now, we're working through that. We're talking to the campsite right now. I know that they canceled all weekend activities, week activities. I don't know if that includes the weekend. So that's what we're working through right now. So again, just keep following us on social media so you can stay up to date on all that. We'll put out communication on that very, very soon.
Yeah. And be praying for those guys. It's bad news all around us.
Well, and new fires spouting up, it seems, almost every day. So it's not snow that's falling down, it's ash. So we want to be praying for the safety of those. Yeah. Even some in our own church that have been activated to go and fight these fires. Let's just keep praying for that as a church. So, but again, thank you so much, Pastor Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, church, for listening in. This is the Looking Both Ways podcast. I'm Pastor Tim, your host, alongside Pastor Rich. Check out the Spanish one as well, if you're wondering if we do that. We do. We have a Spanish version of this as well. So again, one church, two languages. But have a blessed day, and we will see you all this weekend.
See you Sunday.